Hey, it's Colin.
Oh, hi. Hi, Colin.
Hey.
How's Dubai?
I'm in San Diego.
Oh.
Ariel, my daughter's getting married.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. He's a good guy. Berkeley undergrad, Stanford Business School, solid guy. Vikas.
What?
Well, that's his name, Vikas. He's Indian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been a problem. So listen, Heidi, on Schreier.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Well, did you see my report on that?
I did, yeah. Did we have him expelled yet?
Well, it's in process. I wanted to wait and speak with you before
what?
We actually...
No, there's nothing to wait for. That kind of violent behavior, that impulsivity, we can't have that in our results.
Yeah, he's been acting out, but I do think cognitively, behaviorally, he's within our target population, Colin.
He's driving around assaulting people, Heidi. What conceivable target is that? What, you're advocating we keep him?
Hi. Have a seat.
This is Heidi Bergman, EID 101078, here with Homecoming Initiative client Walter Cruz, week 3, session 3. Date is April 24th, 2017. Okay, so Walter, can you describe what happened last night?
Sure. Where should I start?
Start with when you and Schreier decided to leave the facility.
Schreier had... He had some concerns about the program, some questions about our surroundings, and I thought it might help if he could take a look for himself.
By surroundings, you mean what? The neighborhood? Tampa? What?
Well, whatever it took was my thinking. Whatever he needed. So last night, we ate dinner. We went back to our rooms. Then we waited a while and met at the freight elevator. Took that down, went out into the parking lot, got one of the vans.
You got one of the vans?
Yeah. Well, we took a van.
Where'd you get the keys?
I had grabbed those earlier. The security around here, just so you know, it's not great. There's keys to everything just hung up on the corkboard in the break room.
I'll have to take a look at that. So you... Got the van.
Yeah, and we drove out to the highway, past some farms, some swamp land, came to a town. There was a little main street with a bank, a barber shop, a park with a gazebo. The street lamps were all on, and everything looked normal at first, but all the windows were dark, and there's no cars, no people, no garbage in the trash cans. It's all just looked phony.
Phony. How?
Yeah, like someone's picture of how things were or how they're supposed to be. Schreier looks in the window of a department store and all the clothes look old, like from the 80s. Even the mannequins looked old. Next door, there's this ice cream shop. Pink booths, everything's just completely spotless. It's all totally empty. Schreier turns to me and he says, "It's like Arizona."
What does that mean, Arizona?
Well, just before we were deployed, me and Schreier and a bunch of other guys, we were sent to Arizona, to these model towns, these exact replicas of the towns in North Africa, so we could train under the actual conditions, you know? Mm. The furniture, the food, even the cups and plates.
Okay, but Walter... Everything
was an exact copy. And then when we got over to where we were stationed, when we were operational over there, every single thing they had shown us in the models, it was all perfect. It was like we'd already been there.
So, this town, it was like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, except for America, like a simulation of America.
So listen, Schreier?
He's a liability, I see that.
This guy's a classic week 5 burnout. Classic. Paranoid ideation, irritability, anxiety. You're advocating that we wait until he, what, breaks down completely?
But just cutting him off in midstream, isn't that something we should supervise?
DOD will take care of all that.
But we've seen what happens when we discontinue the treatment partway through. You remember Trial 3, right?
Heidi, of course I remember Trial 3. I'm not just... What do you think I'm doing out here, huh? Is this some kind of hobby for me?
No, sorry. But If Schreier's removed from the program, based on what we know about interrupted treatment, the panic attacks, the hallucinations, will DOD really be equipped to manage that?
Well, now, you know what? Now we're talking about things that are completely outside our jurisdiction, aren't we? Schreier belongs to the DOD. They will handle it. They have processes in place.
But, Colin...
Heidi, come on.
Okay, understood.
So we'll send Schreier back now.
Yes.
His buddy, what's his name? Cruz? He's gone too.
What?
Walter, do you understand the seriousness of what you guys did? I mean, the position it put me in.
That's why I'm trying to explain how this happened.
Okay, so how did this happen?
So we're looking into the ice cream shop, and then we hear someone yell. We turn, and there's this guy coming through the park in uniform. He's shining a light on us, and it looks like he's wearing a holster, like he's armed. I look over at Schreier, but he's already gone. He was running right at the guy. So Schreier jumps over some bushes and he runs into the park and tackles the guy. He's screaming orders. He's rolling him onto his stomach, throwing the gun aside. I run over there. Schreier's got his knee in the guy's back and he tells me to pick up the gun, except I look down and it's not a gun. It's one of those old-fashioned walkie-talkies with the long antenna, and I look closer to the guy's uniform and I see he's not a soldier. He's not even a cop. He's one of those private security guys. And he's terrified. He's like basically crying. And Schreier's screaming at him, "Where are we? Where are we?" And this old guy's trying to answer him. He's saying, "Putnam! Putnam Village!" But Schreier's just screaming over him, saying, "Where are all the people? Where is everyone?" And the guy goes, "They're sleeping. It's 10:30 at night. It's a retirement community. Putnam Village."
And you found this funny?
Well, yeah, a little. I mean, we look around and it made sense. The gazebo, the corny ice cream shop. The way it was all old-fashioned, but also plastic.
Like Arizona.
Right. And Schreier just goes, "Fuck me." He picks the guy up by his collar, dusts him off. We're both apologizing. I explain how we just got back, and it turns out the guy had been in the service, too, in the Navy. So he was basically cool, though. He was definitely happy when we got in the van and left Putnam Village.
Yeah, I bet he was.
And as we're driving back, Schreier's whole mood was different. He was, like, elated. Because we were wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're really in Florida. We're getting help. That's all there is to it. Then he turns to me and he says, "Maybe we can get a job there." And I was like, "Where, at the retirement community?" And he says, "Yeah." And I was like, "Doing what?" Troy says, "You know, doing security." That guy didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Me and you, we'd get this shit on lockdown. Get those old folks in line.
What's the thing called where you make someone do push-ups until he throws up?
Smoke them.
Yeah, Schreier would smoke the old folks and just shape them right up, right?
Yeah, oh my God, he would do that. he's like a big kid. He's just been having a tough time. They'll keep that in mind, right?
Who will?
If there needs to be any disciplinary action or... You'll tell them that, right? It was basically my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Schreier, he's a good guy.
You want to remove Walter Cruz from the entire program?
He was in the van with him, wasn't he? With Schreier? He beat up the guy too, right?
No. Did you read... I wrote this all up. He wasn't...
Yeah, but he was with him, right? He stole a vehicle, threatened a civilian... He's agitated, he's paranoid, right? It's the same as Schreier.
No, not at all. Cruz has shown no problematic symptoms, none. I mean, for him, this was really about... He felt compelled to help his friend, actually. He wanted to prove to Schreier that everything was okay. He believes in the process here. He's really committed.
But Cruz, he's in week 3, right?
Correct, yes.
And Schreier was in 5. I mean, what I'm saying here is... Wouldn't we be better off just expelling Cruz now before it gets messy? I mean, if he's 2 weeks away from this behavior, then it's best we get rid of him now. Cruz, I'm
saying. No. I see what you're saying, but I'm only hesitating because I think we'd be missing a real opportunity here, optically.
Optically?
Well, with Cruz, we're going to get some very powerful data from his case.
Yeah,
and
but
the fact that he'll have this incident on his record, won't that really dramatize the progress, the effectiveness when he completes the treatment? I mean, he's such a perfect case study, you know?
So
I'd hate for us to leave that on the table because we didn't have faith in our own process.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. He was a tough case, lots of issues. We would have lost him, but then...
Exactly, because the treatment is so effective.
Well, sure. That sounds great, as long as you really feel confident that there won't be any additional misbehavior.
Very confident. I'll be responsible for him. I take full responsibility.
And we're sure that none of this is tied to errors in the cafeteria.
The cafeteria? No. What do you mean?
We're getting full attendance at the lunches, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone's getting full doses.
Yes. Well, as far as we can tell, given that we're administering the medication in this unconventional... As I've said, we could be more precise if we just medicated in pill form.
Yeah, I can't keep going over that.
All right, well, you asked about the dosage, and that's an area...
Heidi, we're dealing with a highly paranoid, highly unstable group. All right? I mean, that's why they're there. Consistent, voluntary compliance just isn't a luxury we have with this population. Now, if you don't feel confident that the cafeteria...
It's not that, but we could be far more precise, Colin.
Maybe that's our problem right there. Right? If they're receiving insufficient... I mean, that would explain a lot. As far as these problems, these erratic results, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should be delivering the medication at both lunch and dinner.
No, that's not... Doubling the dosage?
Yeah, you know, to err on the side of caution.
No,
What's your feeling if we pivot to that?
Wouldn't that present a serious risk of over-medicating the client?
Over-medicating?
Based on what we know about the mechanism, you'd expect to see widespread confusion, loss of skill, significant side effects, and potentially a real setback.
They'd be, what, unfit? Is that what you're saying?
Unfit, yes, exactly. Significant impairment.
Okay, well, that's not something we want.
No.
I still think that... Oh, wait, Heidi... Oh, they're doing the chair. They're putting Ariel and Vikas in the chairs and lifting them up.
Go.
You know what? Let's talk again soon, and we'll focus on delivering that data. Okay?
Okay. Yes, definitely. Okay. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Heidi.
Bye-bye.
You feel like you need to take care of Schreier?
Take care? No.
But you two are close, obviously.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. We had to. We were forced to. And eventually, the fake external stuff, that all gets stripped away from you. Hanging around with them starts to feel like being alone, and it's...
It's nice, right? That camaraderie.
I was going to say annoying or weird. It's intimate. That's the word I'd use.
Hmm.
It's like... Like a marriage, maybe? I mean, I've never been married, but that's really the only way I can describe it. Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But do you have a boyfriend?
Actually, I'm not sure. Anyway.
What does that mean?
Let's just keep it about you, okay? So you're saying that because of the time that you spent with Schreier and those guys, there's a special... and bond between you.
Sure, but there's also like this aggravating kind of... In the unit, it's just so... I don't know how to explain this. Okay, let's say we're taking a road trip somewhere.
Okay, a road trip?
Yeah.
To where?
Wherever, you pick.
Okay, Yosemite National Park.
Perfect, okay, yeah. All right, so a road trip to Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in Florida. That's California. That's a pretty long drive.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, hey, that'll be half the fun, right? The drive out there. So what? We'll make a playlist. We'll stop at diners with weird local specialties, all that, right? But then there's the time in the car, just mm-hmm. driving. What do we do in the car?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Let's see. We could take turns reading aloud.
Sure. It's incredibly nerdy, right? Okay. And supplies, right? We'll need to stock up gallons of water, beef jerky, peanuts, apples.
Raisinets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you got it. Whole bucket of Raisinets.
Okay.
And we'll get two buckets of Raisinets. And we're planning what we're going to do when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing all that research,
right?
And we're booking hotels. We're looking up good hiking trails. But the whole time, we're essentially just driving.
Right.
It gets boring. Even if we're the most exciting people in the world. The playlist is over. You're not hungry or thirsty. You're out of funny stories.
I'm so tired of reading out loud.
I'm tired of listening to it. And it gets almost scary for a second. Like, we did this on purpose. And we just got to keep going. But I think that moment, that's the reason people go on road trips together. So you're forced to be yourself, or as close to your real self as you can be, in front of another person. Right? You have no choice. It's like the boredom is almost the goal.
This road trip sounds terrible.
No, but you know what I mean, yeah, right?
Sure, I do.
You haven't, have you?
What?
You've never taken a road trip with your boyfriend?
With a boyfriend? I don't think so.
Wow.
I mean, I've had boyfriends.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked.
Okay, I haven't. Happy? It's just...
Oh, man, that's crazy. Really? Never?
It's not that crazy. It really isn't.
All right, whatever you say.
What? It's not like that defines a relationship, you know, taking a road trip. There's lots of different things people do together.
What's something that you've done that's like
we
equivalent
to that? We are so way off.
Just give me one thing, like one story about you and someone you really liked. One story.
Okay, let me see. I gave a guy a haircut once. How about that?
Did you do a good job?
Well, I sort of liked it, but...
He didn't?
No, it's not like I had any training or anything. He said he wanted it long in front and short in the back, and it kind of turned out like... He looked like one of those dogs when they... You know, when they get back from the groomer and they don't really know what's going on, like they're ashamed. Oh, does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Well, we broke up like a week later, so I guess it all worked out in the end. You happy now?
I'm happy, yes.
Hi, Mom.
Did I upset
you? No.
I didn't.
Mom, you didn't, really, okay? Mom, can we talk some... I mean, I'm standing outside a restaurant and I'm meeting someone, so I have to go.
Friend?
No, an ex. Really, I'll just...
Ex? Why? Which one?
It doesn't matter. You won't know. Anthony, okay? But I'll call you back.
You're not getting back together with him, are you?
No, Mom, I need to go. He's right here. Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey.
Hi.
Hey,
yeah.
Nice to see you.
Wow. He actually showed up.
Yes. Wow. Is this place okay?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
Sure.
How have you been?
Good. Good. Yourself?
Good.
Where do you want to...
There, should we sit at the bar right there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They have a good appetizer sampler thing.
Okay. Great.
I'll get that for you.
Thank you. Wow. So, you still working for Keebler?
Keebler?
Uh-huh.
No. God, no. Not for 2 years now.
Excuse me.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Are you guys good at the bar, or do you be waiting for a table?
We're just going to have
eat
a drink.
Oh, no, but... No,
definitely we can eat if you want.
No, we can sit here.
Okay,
can
we
sit here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll have two vodka martinis. That's what you like, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Two martinis coming right up.
I went to a mixologist thing that knows...
You did?
Yeah, 2 weeks, Oklahoma City.
Are you a bartender now?
I could be if I wanted to. I choose not to, but I can do it at home.
Well, so why did you leave Keebler?
Oh, well, they reorganized the whole marketing department when they switched to targeting children exclusively, and there were just massive firings, dozens of us.
Oh, gosh. Where are you now?
Big Chicken, Little Chicken?
Oh, the chicken place.
Big Chicken. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
I really like it. I mean, it's nothing like Keebler, you know, which was just a viper's nest, brutal, cutthroat, totally thankless. And this is... It's more straightforward.
That sounds great. That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And you, how's Tampa?
Oh, I moved back. I'm home.
You got a job here?
I did. Yeah, it's like you were saying about your chicken job. I know what's expected, and I like the people I work with.
So, I'm sorry, there's a base here, or there's a VA or whatever it is?
Oh, no, I'm working as a waitress now.
You're joking.
No.
So you quit your job? I mean, that was the only thing that mattered to you at all.
I lost it, yeah, I guess. And after I left Tampa, I had a really hard time adjusting, and I didn't have the same capacity for work.
Well, yeah, that was a very difficult time for me, too.
I know. That's why I wanted to talk to you.
Okay.
Well, I know that things didn't end well, and I could have handled it better.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to... I'm sure you've moved on, but
no.
I wanted to...
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I mean, I'm fine, basically.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. But if there were things that you wanted to say or things you wanted to ask me, if I didn't give you that chance...
I appreciate that very much. I have thought about this moment a lot, actually.
Me too.
Okay, you don't have to lie.
No, it's true.
Well, I find that surprising, because that's not how it seemed at all.
Well, how did it seem?
Like you didn't care about anything besides yourself?
Okay.
I mean, look, you were like a zombie. I mean, you were totally consumed with your work, which I know how important that was to you, helping those guys.
The guys?
The soldiers you were working with.
Right, right, right.
But that made it so hard for me, you know, because we were long distance.
Okay, here you go, two martinis.
Okay, well, these are vodka martinis, yeah?
Yeah, like you ordered.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thanks.
So you were saying I seem consumed, yeah?
Yeah. And I think it got unhealthy after a point. You had that boss, he was calling you constantly, no boundaries.
My boss?
Yeah, Colin, your boss or your supervisor.
Colin, right, right.
And I felt like totally neglected. And look, I know we'd never had any specific conversations, but I was thinking about marriage and kids, the whole thing. And it's so hard when you meet someone on the internet, you know, to know what the stakes are. And
I know what you mean. I do. I do. But did I say anything else about work? Anything weird that you noticed?
Weird? What do you mean weird?
Or just dealing with me, acting like that. What was that like?
Well, it was awful. I mean, we'd set a time to talk, and then you'd blow it off. And when we did manage to get on the phone, I'd try to tell you about my day, mm-hmm. and you'd have no interest. You just cut me off, and you only wanted to talk about yourself and your
but
job.
But did I say anything specifically that you remember about what was stressing me out? Anything?
I don't know. Why are you asking me that?
I just meant from your perspective. Because you said I was so involved in it. That's all.
Okay. Right. Of course. Okay. Is that why you wanted to see me?
What do you mean?
It just seems like that's what you're really interested in. What I remember about your work, not what I was going through.
No, I am. I am, really.
Okay, well, you know what? You didn't tell me anything important, if that's what you're worried about. You know, your precious, confidential, super top secret work was always off limits, all right? You know, I mean, you treated me like a fucking child.
Anthony.
You know, I can't believe this. What, are you covering your tracks or something? Are you even a waitress? You know? Did you even really leave your job?
Yes. I was discharged for misconduct.
Misconduct. Okay. And what did you do?
I don't know.
God, you have... not changed at all. Why did you even call me?
No, it's not. I don't remember.
Oh, please.
I don't remember.
Please. You broke up with me over the phone and then you hung up on me. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Well, I gotta say, that's not surprising.
No, but it is. We dated for months. I should know that.
Heidi, Jesus Christ. We dated for 2 years.
2 years? I remember that, wouldn't I? The end of that? Will you tell me what happened?
We were on the phone. We were fighting. And your boss called.
Colin.
Yeah, why are you saying his name like that?
How?
Like you've never heard it before. You talked my ear off about that guy. He was driving you crazy.
I don't remember him.
You don't remember him at all?
No, I don't.
Homecoming was created and written by Eli Horowitz and Michael Bloomberg. Directed by Eli Horowitz. Sound design, editing, and music by Mark Henry Phillips. Produced by Alicia Van Coovering and Mark Henry Phillips. Casting by Henry Russell Bergstein. With performances by Katherine Keener, Oscar Isaac, David Schwimmer, David Cross, Amy Sedaris, Marcia Stephanie Blake, Aaron Saratsky, Babak Tafti, and Phyllis Somerville. Homecoming is a production of Gimlet Media.